Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this beautiful morning, a day which the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and would you consider yourself to be a skeptic? When someone tries to sell you oceanfront property in Reno, it's understandable if you are skeptical. Do you know of anyone who is a skeptic when it comes to the Bible? There is plenty of proof in the Bible itself to speak to the identity and the work of Jesus. So there's really no excuse for one to be skeptical when it comes to Jesus. There's more that can be said about that, and we will, Lord willing, as we get into our worship service this morning. God bless us in our worship of Him. May we benefit through the hearing of His Word. Direct your attention to page 3 of the service bulletin as we turn our attention to our opening song. Worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless, worthy, and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Thank you. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Please stand. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O risen Lord, you came to your disciples and took away their fears with your word of peace. Come to us also by your word and sacrament, and banish our fears with the comforting assurance of your abiding presence. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. In our first reading for the second Sunday of Easter from Acts 26, the Apostle Paul, we see here, makes the most of every opportunity to speak about the crucified and risen Lord. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." This is the word of our Lord. What would make our faith and our preaching useless? The Apostle Paul speaks to this in our reading from 1 Corinthians 15. "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." This too is the word of our Lord. Please rise for the gospel reading. Taken from the Holy Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter, where we are strongly encouraged to believe that Jesus is the Christ, along with everything that goes with that confession. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I ask at this time, are there any children who want to come forward for a children's devotion? They're definitely welcome to do so. You can have a seat right there in front. How are you doing this morning?
Good, 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 good.
You like to draw? Want to draw me a picture of yourself on the board? Is that how you look every day? Got another volunteer? All right, good. Nice. Thank you. So, would you be able to recognize her from this picture? Beautiful work of art. But probably would not be able to recognize you as this person, right? You know, when we fly an airplane, how many of you have flown an airplane? Okay, one day you might get the chance. You need identity, proof that it is you getting on that airplane. And one of the sources of identity is a driver's license. And what's on that driver's license?
Your last name and your name?
Yeah, last name and also a, I know it doesn't look like me, does it? A face. That face is me. I was grumpy on that day. But that identifies me. So if I went up to the airport person and said, "Hey, I want to get on the plane. Here's a picture of me." You think they'd take this as proof? Probably not. But they would take this, right? When it comes to identifying Jesus as the Savior, what do we have as the proof that he is the Savior?
He died on the cross.
He died on the cross. Okay, what else?
He died for our sins.
He died for our sins, right? Where do we learn that? That Jesus died on the cross for our sins? Where do we learn that?
The Bible.
The Bible. The Bible is the proof. It's full of pictures, word pictures, showing that Jesus is who he said he is. He said, "I'm the Savior." He died on the cross for your sins, and as we also just heard, he rose again from the dead. So our sins are forgiven. Not that we can go and keep on sinning, right?
that we can live in peace and joy and confidence. And he lives. And so we too will live. So just as this is clear identity of who I am, so the Bible is the clear identity of who Jesus is. And as our reading just said, the Bible doesn't tell us everything we would like to know about Jesus and the world, but it tells us what we need to know. What is it that we need to know again?
That he died on the cross.
That he died on the cross. And? He paid for our sins. And now we then are in a position to tell others about that good news. And we have the proof behind us, the Bible. We can encourage them to read the Bible, just like we're doing here today. And we do almost every day, if not every day, to find that proof that we need and has been given to us in the Bible. So let's pray about this. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us clear proof regarding the identity and the work of Jesus. That proof is found in your word. And so, Lord, thank you for the time to be here today, to grow in your word, to grow in this proof. And also then move us to share the Bible, the proof of Jesus is who he says he is and did what he did for us, died on the cross and rose again. Help us share the Bible with others. And also as we share the Bible with others, help us show love, the love of Jesus to others as well. Thank you, Lord, for giving us such proof. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And your identity is clear because of Jesus. Let's live that identity today and every day. Thanks for coming up. We'll continue with the first four verses of our next hymn.
Grace and peace be yours in great abundance, and this from God our Father, through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus our attention today on the gospel reading from St. John, the 20th chapter, where we hear once again, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and a meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear people of God, carrying the identity of Jesus by way of faith. What does this world we live in need? Well, how much time do we have to answer that question? We can keep the answer real simple. The world needs Jesus. Now, that answer may seem simple to many. In fact, way too many. But the case can be made for the fact that Jesus is what we in this world need and need more of. Not only do we have a huge population not confessing Jesus as Lord, we also have a segment of the population who claims to confess Jesus as Lord by way of their lips, but not by way of their hearts, as evidenced through their other words and actions. James chapter 2 reference. So it is not that we don't have Jesus in the world already. It is that we need more of Jesus in our world, and not just by way of lip service. Listen to this description of the world we live in. People, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Would you say that that is a fairly accurate description of this world we live in? If so, you are not alone, as these words were penned by the Apostle Paul, who said in the last days, and we have been in the last days ever since Jesus returned to heaven, this is how people in this world will act. Well, the encouragement then, and the encouragement which is still valid today, is this: have nothing to do with that. Easier said than done, right? Because the three not good forces, the devil, our own sinful nature, and the unbelieving world, are very good at their destructive work. And this is why Jesus came into this world. And this is why this world we live in needs Jesus in our world. Because Jesus has what this world needs, which is peace. A peace which is created inside of us and then is able to shine through us. And then and only then can this world we live in be a better place. Since peace starts with Jesus, it is critical that we believe Jesus is the Christ, for He is the key to peace. And closely connected to such peace is life. And Jesus is the key to life as well. The early disciples of Jesus, they needed the peace of Jesus for several reasons. They had traveled with Jesus. They had witnessed perform many miracles and heal countless people, feeding them as well. They believed He was the one who was going to take them to the promised land. And way too often, unfortunately, they lost sight of the heavenly promised land for what they hoped would be a better land here on earth. They had witnessed His arrest and beating and death and burial. They were wondering if the same, what had happened to Jesus, was going to happen to them. And so we find them together in a locked room, fearing the worst. Then comes those words seemingly out of nowhere, as they did not hear a door open up. Peace be with you. Talk about receiving what one needs when one needs it. The disciples got a much-needed shot in the arm from Jesus. First of all, these words of Jesus were meant to calm their fears of seeing Him who they thought was dead, and they heard what they thought were rumors of Him being alive. Now He was right there in front of them in their midst in His glorified and yet visible body. That's why He did not need to enter through a locked door in the usual manner. Secondly, they needed reassurance from him not to be afraid of the enemies of Jesus, of their earthly enemies and their threats. People may be able to kill the body, but what can't they do? They cannot kill the soul. It was troubling to those who had put Jesus to death and heard that he was alive because they thought they had gotten rid of Jesus. But one cannot get rid of the creator of the universe. Thirdly, he tells them to be at peace over any guilt that they may have had over abandoning him on that night of his arrest. Cowards they were. But who of us here today can cast the first stone? For if we would have been in their shoes on that day and night, we probably would have done the same thing, wouldn't we? The disciples needed peace of heart and of mind, and Jesus gave it to them. Think of all the reasons why you and I may need peace of heart and of mind. Do we ever feel lonely, even though we're surrounded by family and friends? Do we have that fear of being alone? Do we ever have that fear of being harmed or put to death at the hands of others? Do we have regrets that keep us up at night? We do not have peace in our life right out of the gate of life, do we? From very little on, we give evidence of the fact that the fears we have cause us to cry out for attention. Some people, as they seek to find peace with themselves, try hurting themselves in an attempt to get that peace. Some suggest we just need more kindness in the world. But such kindness is often rooted in conditions. You show kindness first, and then perhaps I will follow with kindness. But if you don't, well, then all bets are off. Well, is that the way people in our area currently are acting? Trying to emphasize that two wrongs will make a right? Well, that math does not add up to peace, does it? The world needs to be at peace for sure and needs peace, but we are not going to find that peace in ourselves or in other people or in the things of this world, for what is of this world is temporary. And it comes with imperfections. Only one source can deliver the peace of heart and mind that we truly need for time and for eternity. And that source is Jesus. We are unable to attain what he has been able to attain for us. We hear again these words of 2 Corinthians 5 to remind us of what it is that he has attained for us and how. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And this from 1 John, emphasizing why God the Father was willing to sacrifice his own Son in our place, in our stead. We who do not deserve mercy and kindness. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We call Good Friday such for this very reason. Though it cost Jesus his own life. But it was all part of a masterful plan to restore us, God's creation, to the joy and peace that comes when we have a relationship with God through Jesus. We can be and are to be at peace in the inside because of what Jesus has done, as what he has made possible through his own death on the cross in our stead. Each and every one of our sins, forgiven. Erased, released from being held against us by God. And this is the good news that not only that we have been given, but also the good news that we are put in a position to pass on to others. What we have by faith, they too can have by faith in Jesus. A faith not in themselves and in their works, but rather a faith purely in Jesus and his work. The disciples were reminded of this very important task and purpose which they were given by Jesus. And later on, they were reminded of it again in those familiar words which we refer to as the Great Commission, recorded in Matthew 28. At the heart of the message is peace. A peace that comes with sins forgiven. The announcement we make corresponds with God's verdict, His word. What God announces as forgiven, we simply announce. What He says does not come with forgiveness, though it is available given that Jesus died for all, we cannot announce forgiveness there. The decision has already been made by God. We are simply the messengers. The peace which Jesus thus has attained for all people, and by way of His cross, object of justification, while the Holy Spirit works that verdict in our hearts, that trust in the verdict that Jesus indeed has died for each and every one of our sins. He works that in people's hearts through the gospel, in word and sacrament. Romans 10 reminds us of at least two important truths. First of all, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And secondly, the ability to call on the name of the Lord comes as faith, comes from hearing the message about the Christ. It is not rocket science, is it? And yet, we find ways to make it complicated. That simple message ends up tripping up people, not because of the message, but because of who we are by nature. And because we want to have a role, a hand in our salvation. We want to feel like we need to contribute to our salvation. And so that simple truth that we are saved through Jesus alone gets complicated. Any attempts to take credit for our salvation minimizes and denies what can only come in and through Jesus. It is not a matter of us being able to understand completely why Jesus would do this for us. It is not a matter of us trying to understand how the Holy Spirit exactly uses the gospel in word and sacrament to work and keep faith in the hearts of people on the inside. And yet, what we can celebrate is the fact that we see such work being done on the outside through the words and actions of people. Believe Jesus is the Christ. And those words and actions will be evident. We believe Jesus is the Christ, not by any of our own decision, not by our works, but through faith. We believe Jesus is the key to peace, and so is also then the key to life. Not only a new way of looking at this life now here on earth, a life which is able to produce good fruits now and when we die, eternal life, but also a life that focuses on the life to come. Because we know Jesus lives, we too shall live. Death cannot separate us from that truth. Believe in Jesus is the Christ. It's like having our bags packed and ready to go, because we could go at any time. What a gift then faith is. Faith in Jesus Christ, the source of peace and the source of life. And this is what we want for our family and friends too, is it not? Do you have family and friends who are like Thomas in our text? He was not in the room that first week Jesus appeared alive to His disciples. He did not take their word when they told Him, "Hey, we have seen the risen Christ." He wanted proof. Well, a week later, he got what he wanted. And he got some of what he didn't want too. Jesus said to him, "Look at me. Look at my wounds. It is I. Just as I said, all was going to happen." And then he told him, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Thomas got to see the proof. We have been given all the proof we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. In fact, the Apostle John concludes our text by emphasizing what is that proof that we have. Jesus did many other miraculous signs, proofs pointing to Him being who He said He was, as the focus was not to be on those signs, but rather on Him. In the presence of his disciples, he did those signs. Witnesses. And that's what we want when we're looking for proof, right? Which are not recorded in this book. There's not enough room for all that to be done. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Now, we do not have everything we would like to have recorded in the Bible, but we do have everything we need to have written down for us so that we can obtain the much-needed peace and life we need in this life and for the life to come. Such a peace and a life the world cannot give, for the world does not have it to give. So what are you who have been called to faith in Jesus, who have been given such peace and life, going to do with it? We have not been called to believe in Jesus Christ just to sit on our hands and knees with such good news. We have been given such so that we can live in peace. And by living in such a way, pass it on to others. Recall the Apostle Peter telling us to be ready to pass on the reason for the hope that we have been given. As people come to know how life has knocked you down, but you have been able to get picked up again. Not by your own accord, but by Jesus. And so like the Apostle Paul said, liberty taken. I may not be happy all the time, but I still have reason to rejoice. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Thanks be to God, for he has risen. What does this world need? Jesus. It needs you and me who have been given that faith in Jesus as the Christ to talk him up. The peace we need and starts with Jesus and he has given to us, we are to pass it on to others. And with such peace comes the life we need. A life which bears good fruit now and when we die, eternal life. And doesn't this world need more good fruit? Which can only happen when we're connected to Jesus. Both peace and life possible because Jesus is the Christ. The proof is in the book before us. And so people of God, stay connected to this book, this Word of God, which enables us to keep on believing and so remain at peace, as well as to live the life that God wants us to live to his glory and has in mind for you and me to live. Faith in Jesus, it is a big deal. God help you live it. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated.
Came forth to be born of a virgin.
Risen and glorious Lord, the sinner's greatest treasure, fill us with your Spirit's grace to love you without measure. Our Savior, you have conquered death and live forevermore. Live now and ever in our hearts and give us of your power to love and serve you always with offerings pure and holy and with our thoughts and words and works to glorify you solely. Amen. We also pray the prayer of the church. O Lord God, our strength, our song, and our salvation, you fulfilled your promises by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead.
Thanks be to God, who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
In your compassion, you sent Christ, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life to rescue the lost.
Cry out, thy mountain blue, that we may delight in your glorious triumph.
Lift our eyes heavenward to see him who lives to make intercession for the saints and grant us confidence in the greatness of his power. Keep before us the vision of your redeemed people standing before your throne and singing the song of victory.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive wisdom and power and honor and glory and praise.
Make us instruments of your peace as we bring the good news of hope and new life to those around us. Guide us in the use of all that you have entrusted to us, our time, our talents, and our treasures.
Risen, O Lord, live in us that we may live for you.
Merciful Lord Jesus, grant healing to the sick and strengthen the faith of the suffering and the dying. Assure them of your abiding presence and comfort them with the hope of eternal life. Continue to provide the physical care and healing needed for all we love and cherish here at St. Mark's. Above all, focus their attention on what you have done for them due to your amazing grace, as what you have done to meet our spiritual needs does not change, though our physical circumstances may change. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. As our fellow members celebrate a birthday this week, we thank you for them and ask that you refresh them in body and soul. Continue to bless the couples among us who are celebrating a wedding anniversary. Renew their love for one another as they reflect on your great love for them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Gracious Father, you have restored to us the joy of your salvation. With happy hearts, we come before you and say,
Alleluia, thanks be to God. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
We pray, Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Special thanks to the sound crew and Adrian and Jenny for the music provided for this worship service. Appreciate that. Bible study, special topic today, speaking the truth in love. Mr. John Sable will be here to present this topic of how to speak the truth in love, not just to Mormons, but to all people. And so please, hopefully you can stay for that discussion. Materials are there in the entryway, a little thicker pack. So please find those materials there. Also then, next week, Lord willing, we'll begin two new Bible studies. One of the studies will be on the first three epistles of John, and the other study will focus on the subject matter of prayer. We do have a call meeting after the second service today. This one is for principal. There's no replacing Mr. Bauer in that role, so we'll just say we're calling a new principal. And the kindergarten call, again, there's no replacing Mrs. Bauer in her great role that she has served here. We'll be calling for kindergarten next week after the late service. There's a reason why we're doing both calls separately. So today, after the service, we're calling for principal. Those attending the Auto Museum tour today, just keep in mind the departure time from here is at 2 o'clock. The tour begins at 3. So if you're leaving from here, we're going to be meeting here at 2 and then taking off. If you're going to meet us there, the tour starts at 3. Okay? The soiree, now's the time to sign up if you haven't already. You'll find more information there in the lobby about the soiree. April 15th is the deadline. We can also still use some desserts for the dessert dash. So stop in the lobby there for materials on what else is taking place at the soiree. It's not just a good way to support our school. It's also a good opportunity for fellowship. The Connect 20s and 30s event will be taking place next Saturday. Check with Lisa D for more details. Great event coming up Saturday. Other events, information, please see the weekly news. If you don't get it by email, now's the time to sign up for that. if you want. Otherwise, you can always get a hard copy there in the lobby. At this time, we'll watch the work we support together throughout the Wells with the Wells Connection.